उवाच एवं संशोधितस्थेन शत्रघोषारवीर्मुनिः प्रीतप्रत्याहतान् प्रश्नान् हृदिष्ठान् अथ भार्गव. Sutta Goswami said, O son of Bhrigu, the great sage Maitreya Muni, thus hearing from Vaidura, felt very much enlivened. Everything was in his heart. And thus he began to reply to the questions, one after another. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The phrase Sutta Uvacha, Sutta Goswami said, appears to indicate a break in the discourse between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami. While Shukadev Goswami was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, Sutta Goswami was only one member of a large audience. But Sutta Goswami was speaking to the sages of Naimasharanya, headed by the sage Shonaka, a descendant of Shukadev Goswami. This does not, however, make any substantial difference in the topics under discussion. Canto 3, Chapter 10 is entitled Divisions of the Creation. We have just read in the previous chapter of the most extraordinary historical meeting between Lord Brahma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, wherein Lord Brahma offered beautiful prayers to the lotus feet of the Lord, and the Lord, in reciprocation, enlightened Brahma in transcendental knowledge and simultaneously empowering Lord Brahma to perform his particular service of being the creator of this particular universe. This is very significant. When Lord Krishna, directly or through his beloved representatives, gives instructions, those instructions illuminate the heart, dispel all darkness. And with those instructions also comes a particular service that is to be performed. Tadvidi pranipatena hariprasnyana sevaya. Lord Brahma inquired submissively. Krishna, who is the original spiritual master, Adi Guru, spoke to Brahma, and with that instruction came a particular service that was to be performed. And Brahma then made all arrangements within his own life to perform that service. So this is the process by which truth is understood, hearing submissively from spiritual master and rendering service. Actually, what the Supreme Personality of Godhead was asking Lord Brahma is very difficult. After all, Lord Brahma is a jivatma like you and me. If you were asked to create a universe, to populate the universe with 8,400,000 different species of life, you would consider this quite impossible. However, everything is possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And anything is possible for one who the Lord decides to empower. In fact, perhaps at one time you were a Lord Brahma. And perhaps someday again you will become a Lord Brahma. Of course, our hope is to go back to Godhead. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed that I would rather be an insect in the house of a Vaishnava than to be Lord Brahma. Because that insect will get the remnants of the food and the water that washes the feet of that devotee. Because devotees are humble. They do not like people to take water from their feet or the remnants of their food. But insects can do it very secretly. Nobody will know. Nobody will care. And also that insect will always be there hearing the devotee chanting the holy names, speaking transcendental knowledge. And in fact, when Lord Brahma appeared as Srila Thakur Haridas, this was his prayer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered Haridas Thakur during the Satprahariya Leela any benediction. Ask something. Haridas Thakur was seeing the opulent form of the Supreme Lord before him. He was so satisfied. But upon the Lord's request, understand that when the Lord was offering these benedictions to the devotees did not want to take anything from the Lord. They were asking their benedictions only to please the Lord. Because Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give. He wanted so bad to give. He was begging Kolavecha Sridhar, take my benedictions. Kolavecha Sridhar said, I'm happy. I only want to serve you. I don't want to take anything from you. But to serve is to please. This we must understand. Real service is to please the person that is the object of our service. It is not a mechanical, ritualistic process. That is not true bhakti. That I'm supposed to give you some water? Service done. Here is your water. I'm supposed to give you, what is it called? Romal? Here is Romal. Service done. Something like that. That is not bhakti. Bhakti is Prabhu, Paramhamsa Ji, please. Accept this water from my heart. Please, I'm begging, take this water. That is bhakti, to please. No bhakti. That is the problem. All show bottles. So, when we want to please someone, we serve them in such a way for their satisfaction. So when Kolavecha Sridhar saw that it would please the Lord to accept a benediction, then he asked for benediction. But he asked for the benediction that would please the Lord the most. Let me be the servant of your servant and always remember you. Similarly, when Haridas Thakur was commanded by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ask any benediction. Actually, it is said that Haridas Thakur Lord Brahma incarnated, but it also explains how Prahlad Maharaj, his spirit descended in full in Haridas Thakur. So this is very interesting what's happening here. Prahlad Maharaj, when Lord Narasimhadev asked him to accept benediction, he said, "I am not a businessman. I have given my life to you. If I want anything in return, that makes me nothing more than a mercantile person in the marketplace. I am giving you. What will you give me in return? I am giving you simply for your satisfaction. I do not want anything in return." But of course, ultimately, he asked for a benediction for the liberation of his father, a benediction that he may come to this world again and again and again, remain in this world, in fact, as long as anyone is forgetting the Lord. The only benedictions he asked for was to sacrifice his life in the Lord's service and to always remember him. So here Lord Chaitanya is requesting very strongly for Haridas Thakur to take a benediction. And here is Lord Brahma himself. And what does he ask for? "Let me be an insect in the house of your devotee, or a dog in the house of your devotee. But somehow or other, whatever birth I may take, let me get the remnants of the prasad of your devotees and be the servant of the servant of their servants." So in Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, "I would rather be an insect in the house of a devotee than to be Lord Brahma, the king of the universe, in his beautiful palace in Satyaloka." Not only is Thakur Bhaktivinoda saying this, but Lord Brahma is saying this. Lord Brahma would rather be an insect or a dog in the house of a devotee than to maintain his position. So this is a very wonderful situation. This is the very essence of what Krishna consciousness is about. Humility, service to the servants of the Lord. To always remember Krishna in this spirit. And there may be so many considerations that come about in our life individually, socially. But if ever we forget this principle, we have lost our Krishna consciousness. We are the humble servant of the servant of the servant. We should never offend Vaishnavas. We should serve Vaishnavas. We should do the needful by performing our sadhana to keep our consciousness very, very strong to remember Krishna in every situation of life, with humility and devotion. And we should not, under any circumstance, exchange this aspiration for anything else or anyone else. So here we find that Lord Krishna is instructing Brahma and explaining to Brahma how he should perform his devotional service and empowering him to do so. How wonderful is Krishna! He can empower an infinitesimal jivatma to create an entire universe. Within this material world, the jivatma is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. That means everybody, you, within your heart, when you go to the spiritual world, then you develop your full-fledged spiritual body, which is Satchidananda Vigraha. However, in this material cosmos, the spirit soul takes the form of a spark, 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair, and is giving all energy, knowledge, and life to the material bodies. So we can understand Lord Brahma's soul within his heart is 1/10,000 the size of the tip of a hair, just like you and me and everybody else. However, Krishna is empowering that 1/10,000 the size of the tip of a hair jivatma to create an entire universe, to be the source of all 8,400,000 species of life. And he gives them a particular body to do that service also. So in this way, we should never be proud of what we can do. Lord Brahma, when he saw Krishna kill the Aghasura demon, he was thinking, let me find out the glorious nature of this little boy Krishna. So he stole the calves and the cowherd boys. Krishna manifested himself for one full year in each of those forms. And then Lord Brahma came before Krishna and revealed, I forgot how insignificant I am. Now I can understand. You are the supreme controller of all controllers. I can do nothing. Whatever I have done, am doing, or will do is only by your power. Brahma realized his insignificance and his utter dependence on Krishna. That is the position of all of us. There's really no difference. According to our karma, Krishna can cast the soul through material nature into various species of life, but he's controlling material nature. It is Krishna giving the bird the power to fly, the poet the power to make rhyming sentences, the athlete to run. It is Krishna giving the power of the philosopher to think. The elephant to eat and digest. Krishna is the source of everything. We are all depending on him, whether we are Brahma or whether we are a tiny little insect. So this has all been very nicely explained. And here Vidura is inquiring from Maitreya Rishi, please tell me how Brahma did it, how he began his work of creation. I'm very interested to know. Maitreya Rishi, he's very happy to hear these things, because when someone inquires enthusiastically with an eagerness to hear, this a Vaishnav preacher becomes very, very ecstatic. Why is he ecstatic? Because this gives the opportunity to be the servant of the servant. And we are finding a wonderful phenomena here. Suta Goswami is cutting in on the discussion. Srimad Bhagavatam is a whole system of various networks of conversations taking place simultaneously. First we find Suta Goswami, the son of Roma Harshan, who Balaram gave special mercy to with a blade of grass. He is being approached by the sages of Naimasharanya, headed by Shonaka Rishi, and they're asking him, because they're performing a big yajna for the welfare of humanity and all living beings. They wanted very much to know, what is the goal of life? How to achieve it? Tell us about Krishna. And Suta Goswami was so happy that you are asking these questions about Krishna. That is the highest question of all, because any topic about Krishna is meant for the ultimate welfare of all living beings. So Suta Goswami begins to describe how he was personally present on the bank of the Ganges when Maharaj Parikshit came to take his vow to hear the glories of the Lord for the last 7 days of his life, fasting till death, no sleeping. Shukadev Goswami, the son of Srila Vedavyas, appeared at that time. Shukadev Goswami, Vyaski, only 16-year-old at the time, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Amongst all the great rishis and sages who were attentively wrapped in attention for those 7 days, Suta Goswami was one such person. Because Suta Goswami had heard submissively from Shukadev Goswami, therefore he was competent to be guru and speak. Lord Chaitanya said, Amara goi guru hoi, that become guru and speak this knowledge of Krishna consciousness to others. Srila Prabhupada oftentimes, he explained, my only qualification is I have heard submissively from my spiritual master and I am repeating whatever I have heard from him without change. So Suta Goswami is in this line of disciplic succession, of hearing submissively and performing the service of preaching. In Lord Chaitanya's mission, we hear submissively and we're all given the order, preach, give this knowledge to others. It is not yours. It is Krishna's knowledge. And he's making it the property of the world. So Suta Goswami is speaking. And what is Suta Goswami speaking? He's speaking, this is what I heard from Shukadev Goswami. And then you don't hear much about Suta Goswami or the sages of Naimasharanya at that point. He's talking about what Shukadev Goswami's dialogue was with Maharaj Parikshit. And as Maharaj Parikshit is hearing, Shukadev Goswami begins to explain, in this particular case, a wonderful dialogue that took place between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. And then you don't hear much about Shukadev Goswami or Suta Goswami. You're just hearing the dialogue between Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. But it's being spoken by Shukadev Goswami, and those words are being repeated by Suta Goswami. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. But here, Suta Goswami comes into the picture. Harivo, Prabhupada explains. He appears to indicate a break in the discourse between Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami, Vidura, Maitreya. And Prabhupada says, this breaking does not, however, make any substantial difference in the topics under discussion. Hare Krishna. This is very important. What is its importance? Prabhupada would not say it if it wasn't important. It means these transcendental topics amongst great personalities, whoever's discussing it, It is of the same transcendental nature. This is parampara. Whether Krishna is speaking to Brahma, or whether Brahma is speaking to Narada, Narada is speaking to Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva speaking to Madhvacharya. Wherever this dialogue of Harikatha is taking place, there's no substantial difference. Because it is all being perfectly repeated in the parampara system. So when you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we're not thinking, well, I don't want to hear what Maitreya said to Vidura. I want to hear what Shukadeva said to Parikshit. And I don't want to. It's all the same topic. It's of the same transcendental subject. It's disciplic succession. They have all heard from the proper sources. And thus, the current of the transcendental, all-purifying Ganga of Harikatha is coming down. Hare Krishna. That's all it says in this purport. It's a very So we will, if does anyone have any questions? Yes, Mataji.
Maharaj, you glorified the devotees so much. You said Haridas Thakur wanted to become a worm in the house of a devotee so he could see, eat the remnants and hear the Krishna Katha. When we meet strangers, they see Tilaka or something, they ask us, who are you? We say we are devotees of Krishna. So are we that kind of devotees? We are so insignificant. And
if you really and truly feel yourself insignificant, then you are that kind of devotee. But if you still have false pride, then you may not be that kind of devotee. But we should aspire to be that kind of devotee. Is there any other questions?
Yes. Maharaj, talking about this parampara system which we always emphasize, we always see that it is as per the parampara and then only we give the importance of it. Now, always with this doubt used to be there in my mind is, we, Prabhupada has come into parampara. In Bhagavad Gita also it is mentioned all the step by step who are the spiritual master. And there are so many years in which all the great souls have come, and from there the parampara has come up. But there are so many years have gone passed by. In between, there could be some reason or some way where there might not be so competent disciple, might be in between, where the spiritual master might be competent, but the disciple might not be so competent to receive that knowledge. And afterwards, another disciple who is becoming his disciple or that spiritual master might not get the complete and a proper knowledge. So is it not so that the parampara might be the same parampara, but the knowledge might not be so perfect or not be so truthful or so not be so complete? Because there are so many years that have passed by and we don't know that the parampara, all the disciple and all the spiritual masters are competent enough to receive the same knowledge in a complete and a perfect way.
Hare Krishna. Within the parampara that has been listed, I believe it, Baladev Vidyabhushan, and later on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they specifically made this list of great acharyas. Now, one thing that is quite obvious is there were certainly many other such great acharyas in the line that are not spoken of. Both at a particular time as well as within those times, between. In the sense that in the parampara we read generally Rupan Sanatan Goswami. After them, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Yes? Then Narottam Das Thakur Srinivas Acharya. Now, technically, as far as Diksha goes, Srinivas Acharya was initiated by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Narottam Das Thakur was initiated by Srila Goswami. Now, they are not specifically mentioned within that list. And neither was initiated by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So we should understand that the way this parampara is written is how the spirit of the truth has descended through the ages. And only the very most prominent acharyas are listed. That is why many are not. For instance, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is listed after Narottam Das Thakur. However, if we study in history, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur lived almost two generations after Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur's disciple was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, whose disciple was Krishna Charan Chakravarti, whose disciple was Radharaman Chakravarti, whose disciple was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So why is Ganga Narayan, Krishna Charan, and Radharaman not mentioned? Actually, they are there. They are the exalted predecessors of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But their contribution for distributing this transcendental message was not so greatly prominent within our parampara. Therefore, those who are most prominent are spoken of. Similarly, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, it was quite a while until Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj took birth. However, we find that Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was strictly within the line of parampara. And that the spirit of Narottam Das Thakur's teachings very directly were invested within Vishwanath's heart through parampara. And similarly, Baladev and Jagannath Das Babaji. So it is a parampara of transcendental truth. It is an unbroken chain. The truth remains. And if we study the conclusions of the great acharyas, we find the spirit of the same truth is consistent within all of them. Why? Because they have heard from the descendants of that truth. And they have repeated. So, the parampara that we have is sometimes diksha parampara, but always shiksha parampara. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada would often say an unbroken chain of disciplic succession. Because the essence of the truth of pure bhakti, as delivered by Lord Krishna to Brahma, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered to Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, has remained perfectly intact by the mercy of these great personalities who are repeating the message with humility and devotion. And even if somehow or other a particular personality who is delivering this message becomes disturbed and can no longer embody the message properly, the message is still there. And someone else can connect to it and repeat it properly. In this way, the parampara is never broken. The message is still there. What Srila Prabhupada speaks is what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke. What Thakur Bhakti Vinod spoke, what Baladeva Vidyabhushan has spoken in his Govinda Bhasya commentary of Vedanta. It is the same message that Srila Jiva Goswami writes in his Sandarbhas, Rupa Goswami writes. in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Same message that Mahaprabhu heard from Ishwarapuri goes all the way to Lord Krishna himself, the Jagat Guru. So even if somehow or other a disciple may not be competent, the message is still there. And Krishna arranges someone or many to repeat that message, to hear it submissively and repeat it to carry on parampara. The spirit is never lost. That answer your question? Is there any other questions? Yes?
When Shukadeva Goswami was speaking to Parikshit Maharaj in the assembly of sages, his spiritual master Vyasdev was present and his spiritual master Narad Muni was also present. So in the third canto we see that Uddhava refuses to speak to Vidura and directs him to Maitreya, saying that it will be Maryada Vyatikram. So what was the special qualification of Shukadeva Goswami because of which he was chosen to speak, and why it is not considered transgression of etiquette that he is speaking in front of his own spiritual master and his Param Guru?
His qualification was the order of Narada Muni and Veda Vyas. It was their order that he speak. If a disciple is presumptuous to take it upon himself or herself to speak before the spiritual master, that is a transgression of Vaishnava etiquette. However, if the spiritual master instructs you to speak, if you say, no, I will not speak, because that is a transgression of Vaishnava etiquette, disobeying this order of the spiritual master is a greater disobedience to Vaishnava etiquette. In fact, to please the spiritual master by following his instructions is the very essence of Vaishnava etiquette. So what this means is it should be the humility of a disciple to always want to bring people to their spiritual master, to think oneself unqualified. And that is what Uddhava, yes? Uddhava understood, Maitreya Rishi is senior to me. It is not proper for me to speak. Even though Uddhava knew everything Maitreya knew, perhaps more, in the sense that he was the dearest, most intimate friend of Krishna and his constant associate for over a century. While Krishna was living in Mathura and Dwarka, it was Uddhava, of all the people living in Dwarka. How many people lived in Dwarka? Huh? What was the population? Billions and billions of people lived in Dwarka. More than the population of the whole planet today lived on the island of Dwarka by the mercy of Krishna. And there were no traffic jams like in Mumbai. No pollution. No overcrowding. No skyscrapers. Everyone lived with, everyone had big, beautiful, spacious gardens and lawns and parks at their homes. Very nice. How Krishna can do that? How Krishna can put universes in the pores of his body. Krishna can do anything. So, Uddhava, of all the people of Dwarka, he was the best friend of Krishna. He was the constant associate. When Narada Muni went to Maharaj Ugrasena, he said, I have been told by the Pandavas that you are the most intimate associate of Lord Krishna. Because Krishna is living with you. And Maharaj Ugrasena said, I see Krishna when he comes to the Capitol building to help us to work out the organization and management of Dwarka. But Uddhava, he sleeps with him, he eats with him, he rests with him, he jokes with him, he's always with him. He is the most intimate. And when Narada Muni went to Uddhava, he said, oh, I have been told you are the most intimate. He said, Krishna sent me to Vrindavan to learn from gopis. Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, not just to send a message, but he wanted, out of his love for Uddhava, he wanted to teach him what is the transcendental nature of the highest surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. Even Krishna cannot teach it as good as a devotee. It is true. Krishna tells what surrender is. However, unless we read about the qualities of Prahlad, or the qualities of Dhruva, or the qualities of the gopis, we never really understand practically what it really means, what Krishna is saying. And that is why it is so important that we, on the appearance and disappearance days of great acharyas in our parampara, we discuss the topics of their lives and their teachings. We discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna's telling us what we must do. But when we hear the lives of these great personalities, we understand very clearly what Krishna is saying in practical life. So Krishna teaches the world through his pure devotees. What is the ultimate perfection of our duty in this material existence? So, such great souls like Uddhava, what is it that he did not know? However, he was junior to Maitreya. Therefore, when Vidura approached him, he did not want to take the presumptuous position that just because I'm learned, just because I know so much, that gives me the authority to speak. It doesn't matter how many slokas we know, how much philosophy we know, what a brilliant mind we have, that gives us no authority to speak. What gives us authority to speak on the path of bhakti is that we have been ordered by the senior Vaishnavas to repeat their message. That's our only, not our intelligence, not our abilities. Krishna will not appear through our words because of that, but rather he will appear because we are in a mood of humility, honoring and respecting those who are senior, and speaking on their order. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu orders us to preach, that's when the power to preach comes. So therefore, Uddhava, as learned as he was, as intimate an associate of Krishna as he was perfectly aware of what pleases Krishna. And what pleases Krishna is humility and respect for the etiquette of Vaishnava culture. Therefore, he sent Vidura, you should learn from Maitreya, because he is senior to me. It is egoistic for me to speak in the presence of a senior Vaishnava. Now, if Maitreya Rishi would have said, Uddhava, you speak, then Uddhava, it would have been quite pleasing for him to speak. But it was Krishna's arrangement that he wanted Maitreya Rishi to speak. So Uddhava was perfect in his etiquette. And similarly, Shukadeva Goswami was perfect in his etiquette. Because even though he approached before his he approached his guru and his param guru. Vedavyas was his guru, Narada Muni his param guru. They were both there, senior to him. How could he speak in front of them? What is his qualification? However, it was on their instruction and with their blessings that he spoke. And when you get the instruction of such a great soul, how could you not speak? That would be false humility. If Guru says speak and say, oh, I am not qualified, I cannot, then what are you doing? You're displeasing him and disobeying his instruction. Is that humility? Is that Vaishnava etiquette? Vaishnava etiquette is also meant to please the Vaishnavas, that's all. The essence of Vaishnava etiquette is simply to please Vaishnavas. If you follow the etiquette and you displease the Vaishnavas, then that means you're not following the spirit of the etiquette at all. Just like if we have to get to a program real fast. So, sannyasi is here and says, oh, you're coming with me? Take prasad with me immediately. Oh, but I cannot take while you're taking. But if you don't, we'll be late for the program. So take it. So you take it because it's his order. It pleases him. If you say, no, Swamiji, I will not take because it is against Vaishnava etiquette. And he's angry with you, you rascal. Doesn't matter you call me a rascal, I must strictly observe Vaishnava etiquette. Then in an angry mood, he goes without you. And you think, yes, I have protected the culture of Vaishnavism. But actually, you have destroyed the culture of Vaishnavism. Because the etiquette is ultimately, it's flexible. According to what pleases the Vaishnavas, according to time, place, and circumstance. The general perception of the general outline of etiquette is, this is the way you will please the Vaishnavas. But there may be exceptions, and there will be exceptions. And we have to just use our intelligence. The predominating priority of all Vaishnava etiquette is to please the Vaishnavas. To serve the Vaishnavas, to make them happy, not to make them miserable. So therefore, we should understand that Shukadeva Goswami, he was Trinaravi Sunichena Taroravi Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. When he was given the blessings and the order from Narada and Vyasadeva, speak Srimad Bhagavat. He spoke with his heart and soul to please them by delivering Maharaj Parikshit on behalf of his Guru Maharaj. He would please his Guru Maharaj. Sometimes even the early days of our movement, Srila Prabhupada would ask new devotees to give class while he was sitting right there. How would you feel? Sometimes a devotee who is just a devotee for 6 months. Prabhupada would say, Satswarup, you give class. And Prabhupada would sit. He wouldn't go away. He would sit. And he would enjoy the pleasure of hearing the broken words of his little children disciples speaking Harikatha. And gradually, by Prabhupada's mercy, so many powerful, authoritative preachers came into being within his movement. So we must understand the spirit of Vaishnava etiquette. There is the form and there's the substance of the spirit behind it. They must both be understood carefully. without understanding the form of Vaishnava etiquette, we will certainly not make proper spiritual progress. It is very important. However, we must know the spirit within it, which is to serve and to please Vaishnavas, to not offend Vaishnavas. The basis of Vaishnava etiquette is all the various aspects of Vaishnava etiquette. If you put them all together or analyze each one of them meticulously, independent of one another, what do we find? The underlying theme. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirataniya sada, gopi bharatur padakamalayor das das anudas. Our Vaishnava relationship should all be in this spirit. This is the essence. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Some people are comparing you to Shukadev Goswami. Very well. However, you should not think like that. Or you will fly away. Krishna, we should think ourselves the dust of the lotus feet of the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of Shukadeva Goswami. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.